503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. We've got this here. This is, somebody just sent this to us from the BBC News, by the way. U.S. President, this is completely real. I'm not even making this up. U.S. President George W. Bush has signed a controversial bill into law that will pay for a 700-mile fence along the border with Mexico and the U.S. The fence will be built by immigrant workers allowed into the United States long enough to build the structure. Bam! Ladies and gentlemen, at the Ministry of Truth, it's Tim Riley.
Time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Get all the facts and fix it. That's how White House spokesman Tony Snow described a growing email sex scandal on Capitol Hill. Snow said the scandal is not a test of Republican leadership.
There is a public trust, and people around the country have not been all that happy with politics in recent months, at least if you look at the polls and the general way in which they look at it. And it's important for people to realize that we do take matters like this seriously.
Uh-huh. Yes, it's disgusting and unacceptable.
As far as speculating about what people on the House ought to do to accomplish those ends, that's up to members of the House. We're not going to get into it. As far as what speculation we may have about other members of Congress, we're not getting into that either.
I think we've had enough trouble from members in Congress, thank you.
Meanwhile, Jeb Bush says the actions of Mark Pulte only further erode public confidence in their elected leaders.
It hurts all of us that are in public service, in my opinion, and it makes people less more distrustful of government at a time when I think there needs to be greater trust. So, shame on him.
You know, and like the Elder Bush and Karl Rove and those guys, they just got to be in a basement somewhere just drinking straight from the bottle. You know what I mean? Just passing it back and forth, remembering that when the country was, remembering when they had it all right there in their grasp.
The president is talking about reading today. We'll get to that in just a moment.
Fantastic.
Jeb Bush says he's working with the FBI to determine if any Florida laws have been broken.
We still need to know. We need to figure out how much, what the magnitude of this problem was. It's just disgusting.
It's funny. The judge was making a, talking about how this, the one exchange, the, you know, I'm tired and sore, that one exchange. It happened supposedly when the kid was 18, but what you don't realize until you, because they were like, well, he's no longer a minor, but what you don't realize until you read deeply into the story is that part of it, the tired and sore part happened when he was 18, but that the actual conversation had begun like 2 years earlier when he was 16. It was still going on when he was 18.
So now, Drudge is claiming a filthy phony online messages were a page prank gone awry.
Uh-huh.
So he's made several claims. There's nothing backed any of it up. So the president is talking about doing other things today. He's talking about education and how important it is to know how to read properly.
Is our children learning?
Bush says children must learn to read at a proper grade level.
Some kids can read at grade level and some can't. And that's unsatisfactory. I know it's unsatisfactory for the educators who are here.
Listen, are you noticing this? Listen to how somebody's told him. Somebody that you can hear from the way he's speaking. Listen to the way he says educators. That's a whole lot of like, where are my keys? That's like a lot of the over-enunciate. Someone clearly warned him, like, don't F up, because if you make a mistake in your grammar speaking in front of students and schools, they will play it for the end of time. They will play it forever. You can hear how he's being very careful to very, very clearly enunciate each syllable. Somebody has clearly warned him of the impending ironic doom should he mess up.
Some kids can read at grade level and some can't. And that's unsatisfactory. I know it's unsatisfactory for the educators who are here. It's unsatisfactory if you're a parent. And it's unsatisfactory for the president.
All right. Whoever that might be. Here's Tim Riley. Oh, wait. Are these all... really? Are these all limber? Okay. And you're checking these? These are clean? Just so I know as we begin to... as we sort of pick them up. Mm-hmm. I say to Scotty... Okay. Well, in what sense, in what context is that? Never mind. I'll take some of the others first. But you've screened these, right? These are all, okay. Ladies and gentlemen, let's take Eric. Eric, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hello, how are you?
I'm rolling along. Brother, what's up?
Well, what I got is this limerick. Are you ready?
I am ready for your limerick, sir. Bring it on.
There once was an old senator named Mark. His eye held a spark.
Wait, I'm sorry. Your phone is kind of cutting out. Try that from the top.
There once was an old senator named Mark. For young pages, his eye held a spark. he said with a leer as he approached from the rear, I hope they don't post this on FARC.
That's well done. Congratulations. That really is, that's very good, sir.
Thank you.
That's well done. Fantastic. Thank you.
Thanks.
All right, Eric, a strong start tonight. Here you go. That's Eric. All right, thank you, Eric. Let's get one more, and then back to the news we will go. That's Jake, hello. You're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, how you doing, Rick?
What's up, Jake? How can I help you?
Hey, you got time for a limerick?
Yes, and yeah, go.
Okay, here we go. There was a man named Folly. His emails were oh so jolly. Chatting with a lad old enough to be dad, he asked if he would play with his dolly.
That's just creepy. Okay. All right, there you go. Thank you. I'm going to put you back on hold, Jake. Very well done, sir.
Thanks.
All right, there you go. That's Jake. All right, get more of these. We move on throughout the day. At the end of the day, best Mark Foley limerick wins pair of tickets. Tim Conway, Harvey Korman, their farewell performance in Portland at the Schnitzer, November 17th. Tickets on sale now. Here's Tim Riley.
And the Fine House Speaker Dennis Hastert fought yesterday to hold on to his leadership post, while fractured to appear among his lieutenants. And the former senior aide to Representative Mark Foley said he had repeatedly warned Hastert's top aide that Foley's inappropriate behavior toward underage pages was going on more than 2 years ago. Hastert said he had no thoughts of resigning and blamed ABC News and Democratic operatives.
Democratic operatives!
This is what he told Rush yesterday. This is a liberal scandal.
I don't know, that doesn't even make any sense. I mean, I don't, that's just retarded is what that is. I mean, that's just stupid. All right, well, okay, I'm listening. I'll hear him out.
I think the resignation is exactly what our opponents want.
Yes, well, that's true.
I'll fold my tent, and others will fold our tent, and they will sweep the house.
I think sometimes they're making it too easy. I think if the tent had been folded some years ago, this wouldn't have been the problem it is today, my friends. So there you go. They're going to keep setting them up like this all week long, aren't they? Mm-hmm. Members in Congress folding our tent. So this is really a good. This is a good week to be Adam Carolla or us. All right, it's Tim Riley.
On to Bank B we go.
Bank B, here we are.
As the Amish community in Nickel Mines, Pennsylvania, mourns the death of five young girls at the hands of a 32-year-old gunman in their schoolhouse, authorities have some news concerning the killer's pre-murder claims. Charles Carl Roberts had phoned his wife from the schoolhouse, telling her he had sexually molested young members of his family. Lynette Quinn with the Pennsylvania State Police say investigators have learned otherwise.
We interviewed the actual alleged victims, and they are confident that they were never sexually assaulted by Roberts.
And so that he's just... I'm unclear about this guy. Is he in jail or dead?
He's dead.
Okay.
He killed himself.
That's
right
what
there.
I thought, but you know what? Embarrassing as this was...
There were a lot of these things.
No, this is... That's what I'm saying. It is very embarrassing, actually. I was talking to Lisa Goddard about this, and then we talked to Ed McCarthy about it. And each time, and I never remembered to look it up. I would get off the air and then be distracted by the thing. I never remembered to actually go online and check. But I would have these conversations with the CNN people, and then I would realize about halfway through the call that I didn't know whether the guy was dead or not, because that's usually how these cases resolve. But you never know. Sometimes you just catch a guy and he goes, you know, and you look at him through a small window forever. He's dead, so we'll never know. But he was just, as the clinical term is, he was just a loon, right? He was just wacky. Okay.
Well, as communities look to make their schools safer, Wisconsin state lawmaker announces a plan that's raising plenty of eyebrows. Representative Frank Lucie wants to make it legal for teachers and other staff around schools to carry guns. He came up with the idea following this recent string of school shootings. Well, when you can make somebody think twice about doing something like that and be concerned about it, you say, gee, I don't know what classroom is going to have somebody who's armed and who may return fire. And I think that's a good thing. I'm just thinking this is not an unreasonable idea. It is workable. The superintendent of the Middleton Cross Plains School District says police liaison officers patrol the school buildings, which is common in many districts. Given the option, one principal said he would not carry a gun. It's his opinion. This is something best left to weapons in schools. To law enforcement officials have extreme training.
But this guy wants everybody, so not just teachers, but like the janitor and the the lunch lady and everybody just to be packing heat.
Mm-hmm.
All right. The thing is, half the teachers. Here's the thing.
Everyone's supposed to act like John Wayne, when the situation demands it.
Exactly. Your average American high school, half the teachers hate the students, the other half are drunk. Mm-hmm. So I mean, I. You know, I don't really know what the solution is, but it doesn't necessarily seem like having 500 guns at the school as opposed to just two. Because here's the problem is, we were talking about this the other day. This is exactly the reason I won't own a gun. Because if they had a gun that somehow magically only worked when I was holding it, that'd be fine. If the gun, I mean, I suppose. In as much as I'd be able to kill people, but nobody'd be able to kill me, that'd be all right. But the problem is that gun, the gun always ends up, just like in every movie, there always ends up being a scuffle, the gun slides across the floor, and then you and Chow Yun-Fat are wrestling each other, trying to get across the broken glass in the warehouse to get the pistol into your hand. And so all that's going to happen is, you're going to give it to some greasy-haired janitor, and he's going to drop it, and as soon as there's any sort of gunplay, it's going to end up in the hands of some kid.
It'll fall into the mop bucket.
Yeah.
Kid helping.
Exactly. And then it's just going to be one of those wacky kids from special ed, and then it's just going to be a whole lot of bad. So it seems like where did this come from? Wisconsin?
Yeah.
Well, there are crazy people anyway.
Well, it's a cheese-eating state.
as though that explains it all. And it does. Mark, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Who, Mark?
Well, I suppose, depending on how you're feeling about it. Are you, Mark?
Yeah, I wasn't paying attention, though, but now I'm here.
Well, all right, then. Hey, by the way, somebody suggested, we have Chris here who says, Rick, I'm pretty sure there was some dispute last hour about the structure of a limerick. Chris believes that the typical limerick structure is line one, 9 syllables. Line two, 9 syllables. Lines 3 and 4, 5 each. Line 5, 9 syllables. So 9, 9, 5, 5, 9.
Oh, my. Who's going to remember?
Well, no. You can't hold me to those rules.
No. I'm sorry. Like, you're all offended. Yeah. I will not. I'm not going to follow the man's guidelines on limerick.
Well, I have to change everything.
More extensive limerick teachings in schools.
Well, I mean, it is.
That part of No Child Left Behind.
Yes, it is. I mean, the limerick is sort of, it is the Irish haiku. So, I mean, we have to be ever vigilant against these things. Because then suddenly everybody's E.E. Cummings, and they're coming in with a bunch of non-rhyming free verse, and they're calling it a limerick. And where do you draw the line, my friend? Where do you draw the line? Where does it stop?
After mine.
Okay. That's the best answer ever. Well done. Okay. You get points just for that. All right. What is your limerick, sir?
There once was a page named Andy, who on weekends says he likes to get handy. Mark Foley mistook, said he wanted a look, but the boy didn't want any candy.
Okay. Just for inclusion of the word candy in there somewhere.
Well, sure, because...
No, you know, it's genius. No, it's really good.
That's the best I can do.
Okay. There's a creepy giggle right there. All right, Scotty, hold on a second. Is it the deal that they all need to stay on hold after I talk to them, Scotty? Is that... Okay, so I'm going to put you back on hold, Mark.
All right,
there you go. We're taking Mark Foley limericks all day at the end of the program. Best Foley limerick wins a pair of tickets to Harvey Korman, Tim Conway, November 17th at the Schnitzer. Yeah, so that's the deal. So we'll take limericks throughout the day. Later on, I'll read some more via the email. We'll do a whole chunk of those via email. But after
who decides who wins?
I believe that'll be us.
Oh, okay.
I believe we are judge, jury, and executioner here. So Yes.
As the media often is, in many cases.
I believe we will decide all. So after you have your limerick right on the air, do you read that? You got to stay in hold, and then Scotty will. Scotty, man, he's back there just transcribing just reams and reams of limericks. So we did not get Eric's info he was hung up on. I was not told that I had to put them on hold, Scotty. On hold, the calls did not go. I was not told to hold them. Oh, no. Here's Tim Riley.
Meanwhile, a radio deal has convinced the Reverend Fred Phelps not to go through his planned protest at those Amish funerals. Conservative radio host Matt Gallagher said yesterday the Westboro Baptist
Mike
Church
Gallagher.
In Kansas has agreed to call off his protest in exchange for airtime on his wonderful program.
I said, wait a minute. What if I gave you 1 hour of my... radio show.
Are you kidding me?
In exchange for your promise not to go bother these poor people. She said, would you do that? We went back and forth for a while. You know what? She took me up on it.
Oh, Mike Gallagher. Boy, I was on a talk show with that guy at one point. I was on... God, when was it? Oh, it was that time that the when I was on the O'Reilly Factor and Mike Gallagher was on there. And I think Gallagher was in the studio, and I was not. I was doing it from K2. But Mike Gallagher, just a big, fat bastard. And it's sort of like Lars, like minus all talent and skill and any sort of amusement, any sort of entertainment value, any trace of charisma. So here's why. I mean, Mike Gallagher, I believe, of course, as all of these guys do, as all the big sack of flour beady-eyed bastards do, he's got the syndicated show. So I wonder if that means that Wonder if that means that Fred Phelps is going to be having, is going to be like a syndicated hour? I mean, it's, anyway, the problem with this is, we were talking about this yesterday, the Fred Phelps and his idiot church, they were going to go out and they were going to be protesting at the Amish funeral, which is horrifying on a level that, like, it was not even within my ability to explicate. It was just the worst idea ever. But you know what? Here's the thing. I was talking about this yesterday, and then I was reading, there was a webpage I was reading about this, where they were talking about how Fred Phelps was saying he was going to show up and he was going to do his usual thing and talking about how the kids are dead because of the gays and the so forth and the sodomy and the blah, 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 and the, you know, that the United States is the home to deviants. And the great thing is that everybody, to a man, they all had exactly the same response we had on yesterday's program, which is that is the straw that would finally push somebody just to solve that problem once and for all. That is the protest that would finally decide that somebody would get it into their head that it was just time to take out the trash. And so, you know, you win some, you lose some, I suppose. All right, it's Tim Riley.
Well, Condoleezza Rice made it unannounced up in Baghdad on her dream Middle East tour. She flew into the capital today, following troop stops in Israel, the Palestinian territory, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, and other places she's really not welcome. She's to hold meetings in Baghdad if they could find a safe place to do that.
If only they had a police department that hadn't been recently disassembled because they were all members of the death squad.
As a matter of fact, the entire police brigade in Baghdad has been pulled out the streets due to suspicions they're involved in sectarian death squad.
They could tell because there was a huge green skull floating in the sky.
U.S. military spokesman Major General Caldwell explained why.
There's clear evidence that there was some complicity in allowing death squad elements to move freely when, in fact, they're supposed to have been impeding their movement, that perhaps they did not respond as rapidly when reports were made.
New police chief Lucius Malfoy. All right, there you go.
Meanwhile, Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes are laughing at rumors that the actress is pregnant with a second child just months after giving birth to their so-called daughter, Siri. Despite unveiling their young child in Vanity Fair readers last month, say the pair has been photographed in the past few weeks attending the Mission Impossible actors' football and soccer games in Los Angeles. And apparently, well, she's lost her baby weight, but some internet groups are speculating that the Batman Beauty was pregnant again, noticing swelling around her midsection.
It really is bizarre because Sarah was sort of led the whole Katie Holmes is pretending to be pregnant brigade for a long time. And so
I still believe that she had it earlier than she claimed to have had it. I think she was wearing a fake stomach. I think she was impregnated by Chris Klein, and I think she put on the fake stomach for the last couple months to pretend it was Tom Cruise's baby.
Oh, I see. Okay, so that makes sense. So it's not that she was pretending to be...
No, I believe she was pregnant, but I believe she had the baby long before she claimed she did.
So she wasn't pretending to be pregnant before she was. She was pretending to be pregnant after she was, in your opinion. Ah, I see. So it's sort of a... Okay, that makes sense.
That way the dates mix, you know, like mesh up a little
bit
more.
Well, now, did she leave Chris Klein to get with Tom Cruise? Is that the deal?
No, they broke up, and then her and Tom Cruise, you know, after he was shopping for new wives.
I remember that, too.
Mm-hmm.
He
bothered with Scarlett Johansson and a couple other girls.
There was no interest.
No.
Katie Holmes was the only one that RSVP'd.
Oh, that's sad. It's like he sent out a MySpace invite and everybody declined.
Please be my friend. Yeah. Please be my friend.
Oh, God, that's just sad.
No, that was... there's no way that stomach was real.
Well, no, because it was like a shelf.
A shelf stomach?
It was like she...
You would think she could afford a better fake pregnancy belly than like a basketball.
Totally. It was like her torso and stomach. It was sort of like a chair where it just sort of came down. It formed like a big L shape, and then everybody immediately has seized, by the way, on the fact that the baby's got like way too much hair, which you're told, and it's huge. It's a big baby. Do we have that story about the British kids smoking?
The British kids,
the British kids, the pregnant British teenagers smoking.
Let me.
Have you heard? Oh, it's a great. We'll get to it later. Fantastic story. Let's see. Pat, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey, Rick, the Random House College Dictionary defines a limerick just as lines 1, 2, and... Well, first of all, it's a five-line deal, and lines 1, 2, and 5 rhyme, and lines 3 and 4 are a rhyming couplet, which means they have the same approximate number of syllables.
But, I mean, we all... Okay, but you can't just make it... They both can't have 80 syllables. We all know how a limerick should sound. It's all got to... I mean, we all kind of know the rhythm that they follow, don't we? Does it say anything about the number of syllables?
No, it does not. So technically, I suppose one could have... I know what you're saying. If you elongate it, it's just not going to sound right. But by definition in the dictionary, it doesn't follow the haiku format, so to speak.
I believe here on the Rick Emerson Show, we follow the classic "There Once Was a Man from Nantucket" model.
See, there you go.
Of limericks. I believe that is, look, if you, because that's the gold standard, right? That is the limerick, one might say.
I would say so.
If you had to explain what a limerick was to some guy from Sri Lanka, that is exactly what you would, he'd go, not yes, a man from Nantucket, I understand.
Exactly.
Everyone of this is the international limerick model.
Since this is a family show, we wouldn't go on and rhyme Nantucket.
No, we
okay,
wouldn't. Let's all stop and do that in our heads right now.
A moment of silence.
Even though this really isn't a family show.
And, nah, okay. Manson family show. What is your, do you have one to submit, sir?
I do.
Oh, excellent. Well done. I mean, you see how lackluster, and not bad, but just see how much more punch this would have if Scotty had made us a sounder? The really interesting thing, by the way, listen to this, and this is Todd the Corpse who wasted. He said, Todd the Corpse says, Rick, Todd the Corpse, by the way, in his email has spelled limerick. He's got sort of a Scotty J spelling, sort of limerick, he spells it. The weirdest thing about Scotty, I'm looking at his email. Todd the Corpse spells limerick like four different ways. He's a copywriter. He spells limerick four different ways, four different times. Rick, the weirdest thing about Scotty J not making a sounder for the limerick opening is that everything... especially since he uses those bagpipes for freaking everything. The one-time bagpipes would be totally understandable and appropriate. He makes nothing. I am perplexed. Before we get to the limerick, let me ask you this question.
Huh?
I can never wrap my brain around this. Are bagpipes Irish or Scottish? Go.
Scottish, I believe.
Please
Scottish
discuss.
Islands.
So they're not Irish?
No.
Well, then why are they always at everything that happens in Boston?
That's a good question.
Every time they bury a cop in Boston, mm-hmm. there's some, you know, and they're playing that one song.
Well,
you know that one bagpipe song
Danny
that
Boy.
They're always playing? It's not that.
There's a sort of a cultural closeness, you know,
Danny.
What with the two countries being side by side.
I bet
they're not side by side.
I bet they're... I think they're on different continents, aren't they? Well, isn't Ireland an island?
Ireland's an island.
They're very close to each other.
Yeah.
Well, Scotland is...
Okay.
Is in the same area
is
as
Scotland
Britain.
Attached to something? Where
yes,
is
Scotland is attached to Britain.
Such an American, I have no idea where anything is.
Yeah, I was not a geography major.
Oh, okay. Oh,
so they're just go to Cleveland and turn left, you know?
Scotland is not in Cleveland.
If it's not Scottish, it's crap.
I do know this, when you watch the, what are those, the dancers?
The River Dancers.
Pardon?
River Dance.
Yes. I have found out that a long, long time ago, when the King of England had conquered Ireland for probably the umpteenth time, he was suspicious of the Irish dancers, and therefore he ruled that the only things they could move in their dancing moves were their legs, because he did not want to take the chance of their arms being able to flail around knives or guns or whatever. So that's why that style of dance has come about.
You know, the world is just stupid, is what it is. All right, don't even get me started on the potato famine. So what is your limerick, sir?
There once was a leader named Foley who professed to be righteous and holy. Of young bear boys he dreamed as his mind's video streamed. Now exposed, Foley ain't nothing but lowly.
Hey, that's good. There you go. And you follow, I believe, the classic rhyming structure, sir.
Well, I counted out my lines 3 and 4. One was 8 syllables, and the other was 7. So that's approximate.
That sounded fine to me. All right, thank you. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. That's Pat. God bless you. No. God bless you, sir. All right.
One last one here.
Okay.
For the break, the prosthetic leg of a 4-year-old Modesto boy has been returned after it was stolen 2 weeks ago. It belonged to Josh Mejia. Valued at $7,500, it was taken from the family's unlocked vehicle while they went shopping. Don't ask me why he took it out to go shopping.
Who steal? Oh, okay.
Here's a Modesto Police Sergeant Greg Greenlock.
Was he going to the hop? I'm sorry.
Out of everything in the car that the thief could have taken, they chose one prosthetic leg. And why that is, we don't understand.
So Josh's father returned home last night from a trip to the store to find the leg on a doorstep. Probably it was supposed to be a prank. But Josh's mother, Julie, doesn't think it was funny at all.
Okay. Page 2 after this. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Coming to the bottom of the hour, we got Gary Baumgartner will join us later on. Jim Roop. We're talking to a friend of ours who writes the music for porn films. More and whatnot. Plus limericks and so forth. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. We're live from Portland. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Emerson Radio program. Thank you for coming along. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Coming up later on, we have CNN Radio correspondent Jim Roop is going to be here. We'll talk about some fabricated news. And we have a man attacked by 10,000 bees in Florida. It's all coming up. It's 503-733-2970. Plus, throughout the day, we have a selection of Mark Foley limericks. The end of the day, best Mark Foley limerick. We'll bring a pair of tickets to see Tim Conway, Harvey Korman, the farewell gig at the Schnitzer November 17th, right here in Portland, Oregon. And don't forget, later on, as we get closer to November 17th, we're going to be doing, it's like a 5-4-3-2-1, you know, fifth row, fourth row, third row, all the way up to first row. And backstage. So you'll be listening for that. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email your limerick if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Ladies and gentlemen, let's now welcome from New York City.
I love New York City. Oh, yeah. New York City. I love New York City. Oh, yeah. New York City.
CNN Radio correspondent from the city that never sleeps, Gary Baumgarten. Gary, how are you, sir?
I am terrific, and you?
I am rolling, brother. I am fantastic today. You know why? Because I just had a brand new big semen hot cup of coffee, and so all things are possible with the aid of caffeine.
There you go.
With chemicals.
And now they say if you drink 8 cups of coffee, it's good for you. So who knows? That's the way the pendulum's swinging now.
I thought that it was if you had more than... I thought there was some danger zone where if you had like 6 a day, it was fine, but if you had like 8 a day, your forehead was going to blow out or something.
I don't know. I guess it depends on which study we're reading on which particular day. I choose to read the ones that... to what I wanted to, as opposed to the ones that are restrictive.
I choose to avoid scientific results that do not jibe with my own personal biases and
there
viewpoints.
You go, exactly.
That's exactly what I do. Hey, so I was trying to, the other day, God, I don't know, with today's Thursday, so I think it must have been on Sunday. I was trying to get somewhere downtown, and we got this thing that always happens in Portland, and it's called, I forget the actual name, but it's basically a generalized protest. This is where a bunch of guys gathered at this place called Pioneer Courthouse Square. It's sort of right in the dead center of town. And there's a bunch of people sort of gather there, like on alternate Sundays or like every third Tuesday or whatever. And it's always a guy in a Dr. Seuss hat and like another guy dressed like a clown and one guy carrying a legalized pot placard. And they all just sort of march around and they bitch about stuff. And so that's sort of what I was thinking of today. Because correct me if I'm wrong, but today is October 5th, isn't it? So today is, quote, what is it? It's a day of mass resistance. Why do they never tell us about this stuff in advance so I can prepare to resist?
You know, it's interesting. It's in 75 cities or 70 cities or, according to the organizers, 150 cities, probably the biggest protest here in New York City. They're protesting, or they were earlier, in front of the United Nations before marching down to Union Square for more rallies and protests starting in about an hour from now. And mainly, they want the Bush administration out, although what you and I might call an administration, they refer to as a regime. They're very upset at the administration for its foreign policy, in particular what's going on in Iraq, and their fear that there's going to be a war with Iran. And so they're out there protesting once again.
The best part about this, by the way, and I'm reading this off the prep sheet here, is called World Can't Wait, a grassroots movement intent to... Grassroots, by the way, always means that there's no money and that they have no actual structure. A grassroots movement intent on... It's like when they say, like when something, a food is called homestyle. Homestyle means made in a big blackened factory somewhere in China. Grassroots movement intent on driving the Bush administration out of office is calling for a day of protest nationwide. Listen to this, is the best part. Organizers are asking Americans to repudiate President Bush's policies by staying home from school or work. So, because really that's the way that you can fight the power structure, is by diminishing your own education and income. That really gives you the weapons you need to fight a sort of corrupt administration.
And in fact, there were a large number of school-age children who were participating in the portion that I covered today.
Does that mean that everybody who's sort of unemployed or just sitting at home smoking a weed on the couch while playing Xbox is they're honorary members of this protest because they're not? This is basically just lay around and don't do anything day then for these guys.
Well, it takes a little bit to walk from, you know, how many miles it is from the UN to Union Square, although it's a beautiful day for a stroll in New York City. So,
all right.
Maybe it's just a day to go on a hike. But you're right. Why couldn't they have done it on a weekend and not disrupt school system? That's a good question.
The thing that they're always at the... I don't know if you all have this problem in New York City, but the problem that we have here is there's always a bunch of guys that decide that the best way to protest is to, like, clog the streets so that I can't get to work. You know what I mean? They're always...
It doesn't happen so much in New York because the cops really are very, very good at organizing. So what they do is they block off a lane of Second Avenue to march south, and you know, it's already barricaded off before the march steps off, and so they can walk on the sidewalk and they can march in the right-hand lane, and the traffic, it slows things down a little bit, but it doesn't stop things.
As a correspondent,
that's no worse than the Coca-Cola delivery trucks that are double parked anyway along the avenue they're delivering. So
let me ask you this.
You know, it's just a thing in New York City, you have to deal with the traffic anyway.
As a side note, just because you are a man of the world, you are a seasoned reporter, you are a veteran reporter for CNN, you know many things about many peoples and cultures and countries and groups of folks, traditions, cultures. Are bagpipes Irish or Scottish?
Scottish.
They're Scotty, you're sure about that? It wasn't a thing where, like, the Irish invented it, and, like, they went out for a pint and somebody stole it?
I mean, I used to hang around in Detroit in the Irish pub. They used to call me Gary Obaumgarten, but it was the Scots who came to play on St. Patrick's Day.
No one called you Gary Obaumgarten.
They did.
That's fantastic. I'm going to call you that for, like, on, I don't know, like, every fifth time we have you on, I'm just going to introduce you as that for no readily apparent reason. Just so you know, so this doesn't catch you off guard. Fantastic, my friend. All right, enjoy your New York afternoon. We will talk to you soon, sir.
Later.
There you go. Gary Obaumgarten. There you go. From New York City. It's 503-733-2970. A few seconds here. We'll be rejoined by Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. Are you looking at the restaurant online?
Yes.
All right. And to what end?
It's expensive.
It's I'm paying.
Okay, I'm glad you're willing to buy me such a nice meal.
We've eaten it. Well, what is it you're going to be ordering exactly?
Well, I can't order in the happy hour stuff because it's all like fries and like deep fried stuff.
Now, I did agree to buy lunch, but I think that there comes with that a certain...
You didn't give me a price limit.
With the offer of free lunch comes great
responsibility. Which I very appreciate. I appreciate a lot.
All right, so you are going to be ordering from the lunch menu, correct? This is going to be the lunch menu that is offered by this restaurant, not the all-day. It's not the all-day eating menu. This isn't
the happy hour menu. All it has is like fried sandwiches and like pork stuff and French fries and
fried sandwich.
What is a fried sandwich?
Fried sandwich and pork stuff.
I thought we didn't get past that.
All right. Well, you know, I'd say that's between you and the god of your choice. I don't believe
they have a really good selection of salads.
All right.
Big,
oh, that's
ones.
Okay. Well, that's there you go. As long as we're talking salad, that's fine with me. Get a water while you're at it. So, I'm okay with it. I just looked over and I saw you scrolling through the restaurant menu there on the screen. I just became very, very suspicious. And I feel bad because now,
do they have any deep fried salad?
You know, can I just tell you this? I was at a fair one time where they were doing this thing. It was sort of a bit, actually. It was kind of a sticky thing, but they would actually deep fry anything. And they had like a whole, as like a gag, they had like a whole deep fried salad, deep fried. You know. God, man, I saw a guy eat, I guess maybe it's not so terrible, but it sounds bad when I describe it. It was a deep-fried, hard-boiled egg.
Oh.
And, I mean, see, I guess maybe that's not so bad because that's that Scottish egg, or the Scotch egg is the same thing, right? Isn't that a hard-boiled egg
that's actually
deep-fried?
One of the options on the happy hour menu.
Well, I guess even as I'm saying it, I shouldn't make fun of it because I've had it. I've had it at the Rose and Thistle, and it's actually not so bad. It's not...
Well, all there is typical from here is an egg, popcorn, French fries, pork rillets, goat cheese...
Pork what?
Rillets.
What's that?
Know. Do you think I know?
No, because all I ever get there is the cheeseburger. That's they've got. I mean,
they don't have the cheeseburger on the menu anymore.
No,
on the happy hour
no.
menu.
Because I'm paying full price for that. Because it's not an appetite. The happy hour menu was always
olives, noodles, and butter, and a baguette with butter.
Noodles and butter. See,
I'm not going to eat noodles and butter.
I'm just saying starch and grease, and then like you know, and then.
Is popcorn, French fries, or noodles and butter? Oh,
everything
pick.
A growing girl needs.
Yeah,
you're
sure.
Not going to... Whatever, look, it's Thursday, sister. However, whatever you look like now is what you're going to look like on Saturday. You're not going to be shaving anymore. This isn't a Katie Couric photo. You're not going to be shaving anything else within a day and a half. It's not going to happen.
You have no willpower doesn't mean I don't.
It's not that I have no willpower. I don't, but I'm saying... You're skipping this food for health reasons. You're skipping the food because you
for
think
vanity
that...
For reasons and for health reasons.
You're not
going to
look any
better.
Different on Saturday than you're going to look today.
You
There's
going
to be
that.
No... I do know that.
No, you don't.
Unless you go on a crack binge, you're going to look the same Saturday. We should talk.
I have 2 days, and I'm going to be riding my bike a lot, and I'm eating a lot of fruit. It's cleaning that system out.
Okay.
What are you eating at the giraffe?
I'm going to be having their cheeseburger, which is probably, I would say, the greatest. I would say it is the greatest cheeseburger that I have ever had in my life.
What else is available from the starch and grease menu?
Well, that's the thing. Is I said, I feel bad that I didn't invite you now because I assumed that you were going to vanish home. You're more than welcome to go. It's we're going to be eating with Mike Everhart. I'm sorry.
Look at you alienating the staff.
Yes, I know. I've stepped all over everybody. Now I feel like
first you promised me Thai food. Now we're going to eat grease.
Thank you.
I feel so left out.
All right, moving on. Here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
Okay, breaking news. As we heard that young lady from Washington, D.C. speaking moments ago.
Is there sound on this?
Yes, we do. We have to go to Bank A.
Bank A and reload Bank A. Yes. Okay, I'm ready.
House Speaker Dennis Hastert had a press conference a few moments ago. He said he has no plans to resign from his leadership position amid questions about Mark Foley. He denied he saw salacious emails between Foley and Pages a year ago.
I first of all, learned of this last Friday when we're about to leave Congress, and that's the first time that I heard of the explicit language. When that happened, Republicans acted, and the guy's gone.
Who does he sound like? Is that Hastert himself?
Yeah.
He sounds like somebody there. Who is it?
I first of all, learned of this last Friday when we're about to leave Congress.
I've got it.
And that's the first time that I heard of the explicit language. When that happened, Republicans acted, and the guy's gone.
You know who he sounds like? He sounds like, and this is a thing you either have to be, I think, of a certain age or just a full-on screaming movie geek to get. He sounds like M. Emmett Walsh, if you know who that is. M. Emmett Walsh is the guy. He was in Blood Simple, the Coen Brothers film, and he's the guy who opens fire on Steve Martin in The Jerk. He's the guy who picks Steve Martin's character, Naven Johnson, out of a phone book at random, and then begins firing on him. And it's that, oh, he hates these cans! It's that. That's exactly who he said. Die, you random bastard! It's that's who he is.
Hastert said he is truly upset over this situation.
I'm deeply sorry that this has happened. And the bottom line is that we're taking responsibility. Because ultimately, as someone has said in Washington before, the buck stops here.
He said, despite being reported to the contrary, Republicans tossed Foley out as soon as they realized he was sending salacious instant messages.
When Congress found out about the explicit messages, Republicans dealt with it immediately, and the culprit was gone.
The culprit? Like, suddenly he's a non-person. He doesn't even have a name anymore. He's recuperating in the countryside now. Yeah.
Hastert said he called the Department of Justice to intervene and investigate Foley.
We're now trying to correct the problem. We've asked the Ethics Committee to look into this matter, and we ask for criminal investigations to be opened by the Justice Department, the FBI, and the state of Florida.
The thing is, you know that within 6 months, you know that the book, Foley's going to have the book out. He'll be sitting on the Oprah couch. He'll be talking about his daddy never loved him and beat him with a zucchini or whatever every night. We're going to be up to our eyebrows in this for the next year and a half.
Hastert said when confronted with one questionable email that seemed too friendly, Foley was questioned and the parents of the boy involved were content with the outcome.
He confronted the member and the member said that
I'm sorry? He confronted the member?
Yes.
He confronted the member.
Look, I know that they're a little under the gun there, but you think that they'd have somebody vetting these speeches, man. Do we have a guy talking this morning about the member of Congress? We had somebody talking about how they needed to get rid of their tent, and now he's confronting the member.
He confronted the member,
Did he pack a sack lunch, too?
He confronted the member, and the member said that he would stop doing that, asked him if there was any other messages. He said no. He said, don't do it again. You know, that's what we did. The parents were happy.
Really, any sort of reference to taking this in a new direction would just be redundant now. I don't even need my help with this.
No.
All right. Let's get a couple of these. We're taking Mark Foley limericks today at the end of the program. Best Mark Foley limerick was pair of tickets to Tim Conway. And Harvey Korman, who are coming up November 17th at the Schnitzer. Rob, hello, sir.
Hey, Rick.
How are you doing, brother?
Good. How are you?
I'm dandy. All right. Scotty has told me to prepare the wah-wah for this one.
All right. I will enunciate in the style of President George W. Bush.
Okay, thank you. All right, here we go. Your Mark Foley limerick. Go.
Congressman Mark Foley was quite grand. Against internet sleaze, he did stand. Although three times his age, he would IM his page while typing with only one hand.
Oh yeah!
That's pretty good.
Oh, that's really good. That's fantastic. Tim Riley noted this, by the way, when ABC News first did the report on this. I don't know if anybody has seen the ABC. And I myself Because even though I'm a little older than, let's say, your average college frosh, I myself fall into the category of people that they talk about a lot now, where all of my news I get from The Daily Show. All of my news either comes from Fork. All of my news... That's a message board for eating. All of my... All my news comes from Fork.
It's spoon-fed.
You kids love this disco thing. Boy, you know, that just made me sound like a big, out-of-touch old bastard right there. You kids love this Fork.com. what's with this MySpace page that you kids are all about? No, all of my news comes from Fark.com or from The Daily Show. That's it. That's all. Stephen Colbert is responsible for like 90% of all the crap I know. So I only saw the ABC News thing in as much as it was shown on The Daily Show. And they didn't alter it. They just showed excerpts of it. But the most horrible thing, the most horrifying moment in this ABC report is they are showing the recreation of Mark Foley IMing with this underage, presumably greased up boy. And so they're like, you know, and they have that thing in the corner, like, recreation. And then they have the little music underneath of the salacious sort of. And then they show on the screen him typing. But here's the worst part. So they show it from, it's sort of a first person point of view. They show the hands, those meant to be Mark Foley's hands, on the keyboard typing away, right? And then you hear the voiceover. You know, will you smell the glove? You know, are you horny or whatever? And then the boy types back, you know, yes, I'm sore or whatever. And then they cut back and they're cutting back and forth on the screen from the recreation of showing Mark Foley's hands typing on the keyboard to then showing the text on the screen. And so they show a bunch of the text on the screen and then they cut back to the typing and it's just one hand. They cut back and ABC News just has the one-handed typing, literally one-handed typing happening.
Was it the left or the right hand?
Right. Right-handed.
Interesting.
Well, how do you do it?
Well, you know, it depends on, you know, if you're ambidextrous or right or left-handed.
That is true. You know, that is true. Here's the thing. I bet that internet pornography and smut and online sleaze, I bet we're all going to be ambidextrous within the next... Like, we're going to raise a generation of ambidextrous kids. Pornography and video games are going to result in superhuman kids. That are, like, the kids who text and so forth, they're going to have, like... they're going to grow either an extra thumb or their thumbs are just going to be a whole lot more agile. Like, I'm an adult, so it took me a long time to figure out how to text, you know, to do with the QWERTY keyboard and the so forth. But man, kids born now, they're going to be able to, they'll be able to like type the Magna Carta in 30 seconds with one pinky. That's the lasting gift of online pornography. We must always be thinking about the children, sir. Okay, there you go. Rob, thank you.
Yep.
All right, God bless you. Typing with only one hand. They just write themselves. We'll do another one here in a few. Here's Tim Riley.
An Oregon bakery worker is trapped face down in dough.
Nope.
The worker at a new Eugene
area
bakery.
Come on, don't even get a charity laugh for that.
No.
Yeah. Fine.
The worker at a brand new Eugene area bakery was pinned face down in a trough of dough. Unable to breathe, he's now in the hospital. Brian Byrne somehow was pinned between a plexiglass machine guard and a trough of dough, which was moving slowly down a conveyor belt. The movement of the machine pushed his face into the dough, and it was unknown how long he was in that position. Once a co-worker discovered Byrne, they had to unbolt the machine to extract him, which took 10 minutes. The machine is designed to keep workers from coming into contact with the conveyor belt and dough.
That worked poorly. That's sort of like, that's like where he ends up as like little foil-wrapped pieces of, you know, Augustus-flavored fudge.
This is a brand-new $42 million bakery.
All right, so I've already used dough. There's a pun there somewhere. He was trapped in dough. He was... Come on, help me out.
He almost died. He's in the hospital.
He lived, though. He lived. And
he's
so
in the hospital in bad condition.
What bad condition? What is this? He's overly flowered. He's kneaded. Wait, I need help. Won't you? Come on. I need help. K-N-E-A-D. I need help.
I can see how the family turned on the radio in his hospital room to cheer him up. And he's listening to this right now.
I'm sorry. He's alive! You know,
we don't know how alive he is.
He's breathing the sweet morning air of life. And you know what? What is life but to laugh? You guys are dicks. All right, let's take a...
Yeah, we are.
This is like when you were yelling at me the other day for making fun of the heart attack guy. Let's see. Let's find him to carafe with us. sir, would you like some mayonnaise in a bowl?
deep fried mayonnaise.
Never mind. I was just going to say, Tim.
Yes.
Now, I feel bad that I didn't invite you to lunch.
Don't. I already ate lunch.
No,
I wouldn't be hungry.
I feel terrible. No,
I ate a big lunch.
It just didn't occur to me that it would even be a thing you'd be interested in. I always just assumed
maybe you should buy both of us lunch.
I always assume that Tim's answer to social limitations is always no, but I've got some things to do.
I invited him to come over for my birthday and he declined.
Okay, well, see, there you go. So I feel less bad about it now.
Yeah.
All right. So see, it's a big circle of
shame. I don't do birthdays.
Neuroses. Okay.
Weddings, anniversaries, bar mitzvahs.
He only goes out one day a year, he told me.
Fantastic. Okay, well, we've already done that one probably.
Mm-hmm.
So, Tony, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, what's up?
What's up, brother?
How you guys doing?
Oh, it's, you know... That was a total non-answer.
Not as bad as being stuck face down in the pool of dough.
I was going to say, yeah, we're not being tenderized by some sort of a large donut-making machine. So, you know, that's, you know, we got that working for us. What do you got? Yeah,
that's always good. I got a limerick for you.
Okay, this is a Mark Foley limerick, and go, sir.
There once was an old man from D.C. who sent dirty notes on his PC. If you're cute and young, he'll ask how you're hung. And I think that's oh so very creepy.
Okay, the rhyme is a little shaky there at the end, but I give you points for using the word hung. Good one. All right, thank you.
I based it all around the word hung, actually.
So you started, hung was the acorn from which the mighty oak of that limerick grew.
Indeed.
All right, thank you, Tony. Thank you, sir. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
There you go. At the end of the day, best Mark Foley limerick was a pair of tickets to Tim Conway and Harvey Korman. Titans of comedy. Admittedly not limerick-based. All right.
This is a pair in my teeth.
I'm sorry?
I'm sorry.
What did you say?
I have pieces of pear in my teeth.
Ah, okay. It's 503-733-2970. We'll go over the carafe menu later on. Maybe I can just pick up. Maybe I can just do the guy thing. I'll just pick out a lunch for you if you're on. She'll be having the lamb. Very little mint sauce. Order for you. It's 503-733-2970. You wouldn't like it anyway. It's just big slabs of meat. It's
they have vegetarian courses.
Do they?
And vegan.
I thought it was all just meat and mayonnaise at that place.
I'll never know now, will I?
He'll be riding a lonely ride home on the Mac
train.
That's
okay. That's all right. You could get some food at Sarah's this weekend. Oh, no. No, I guess it's not going
to
happen.
What are you
either.
Making fun of the fact I can't afford to buy food?
No, your birthday party. Isn't there food? You're going to have food at your party, aren't you? What, do I have to pay for lunch there, too? I have to pay for dinner at your birthday party?
I'm not going to get dinner. What kind of parties do you go to?
I'll provide beer.
That's
there will
about
be
it.
There will be food, though, of some kind, won't
there?
There
be an orchestra.
Might be like a bag of chips or something.
Exactly. Well, there'll be pony rides for the kids. A bag of chips. Here you go. crap from under the couch. Is this at your house?
No, it's over at Nate's.
Oh, I see. Well,
I don't have any backyard.
Okay. Are your roommates going to be at the party?
I invited them.
Are they going to be at the party?
I don't know.
Okay. Oh, wait, we should take this really quickly. Mike, hello, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Rick Emerson, how you doing?
What's up, Mike?
That guy that got stuck at that bakery, that happened to be my cousin, actually.
Really?
Yeah, and you know how it's... I mean, it sounds funny and all, but...
No, it's not really funny
now. It doesn't sound funny to us.
No.
So, yeah.
Hold on, I feel like we're building towards something here.
It's very sad.
It sounds funny and all, but what?
Well, how he got stuck was he was using his face, he was making animal crackers.
I think that was a joke.
Oh.
Is that what those Howard Stern calls?
All right.
Usually they have an end to them, though.
Usually there's usually... Yeah.
Why don't we hang up before the curse of...
I would suggest you work on that some more, sir.
What?
Baba Booey, sir.
Oh.
Thank you. Okay.
What was that?
Something about animal crackers?
All right, let's break now. Let's end this now, as Douglas C. Niedermeyer.
Oh, the porn guy's coming up, isn't he?
Yeah. Let's be very careful how we talk about this. Our friend Tim, who makes music for adult films right here in Portland. Who knew that they made porn films right here in Portland? I mean, I knew there was like strip clubs and suicide girls and whatever, although I guess they moved. And suicide girls aren't here anymore. Somebody told me they moved the whole thing to San Francisco.
Who?
That makes sense.
Bitches. The suicide girls.
Who are they?
Upstanding youth.
Oh.
They work with the poor. Anyway, we come back. We'll talk to a friend of ours who creates original music for adult cinema. You've always wondered how it's done. Find out after this. The Rick Emerson Show. Root coming up later on. Don't go anywhere.